All right. Good Friday morning to you. I apologize for my voice being a little rough this morning. Unlike Todd Pyra, it wasn't because I went to a golf tournament and smoked cigars. I went to the Blues game last night, and I was yelling for the hometown Blues. Let's go, Blues. And they won in overtime.
I mean, not to call you out, Mark. I did know you were going to the Blues game, but I can always tell when you've had a late night when you come in wearing a hat.
It's true. I usually don't do that. But you can tell if I've gotten a minimum required number of hours of sleep. I'll just throw the hat on and head out the door. I'll sleep the last possible minute and then get down here and try to get the show on the air. But thank you to Ethan, who's filling in for Carl Middleman, who also had a late night last night but has the day off today. So very smart. You know, every time there's a Blues game, Carl's there till the game is over. So in this case, 9:30 probably when the game is, because it went into overtime for 5 minutes. The Blues won before the overtime period was over, which was nice. And then, of course, you have to find your car, fight traffic, and get home. So, yeah, we had a great time last night. Good turnout, and hopefully the Blues are on a bit of a streak. Those two teams looked very evenly matched. I won't try to do sports because I don't really understand hockey all that well. I'm just being honest with you. It's never a sport that I played, but I enjoy watching it. And those two teams were very evenly matched. It was pretty clear at some point in probably the second period that whoever scored first would probably win the game because they were just, the goalies were on it last night.
It was Bennington?
No, it was the other goalie. I don't know his name. Sorry.
I think his name is other goalie.
It could be.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Bennington is the one I'm most familiar with because his name is on my jersey that I wore last night. So
the one day we meet Carl.
Yeah, the one day we need Carl, he's sleeping before jetting out of town. So anyway, we still got lots to get to. There's never a dull moment. Coming up a little later, we are going to talk to Major General Bob Dees. He's retired now, but yesterday they killed the Hamas leader. And I'm listening this morning to a spokesman for the Biden administration speculating on whether or not this might bring a faster end to the war. Are you kidding me? They're like ants coming out of an anthill. You step on one, there's 50 more coming after them. But what we need to do is back off and let Israel prosecute this war. And let the next guy up find out what it's like to have a rocket land in your bedroom in the middle of the night. Because
you see those images of him, how he was found?
I did not.
They're pretty graphic. I mean, there's video of his final moments where it looked like he had a knife or something and he threw it at the Israeli soldiers. And there's pictures of how he looked when they found him.
Wow.
I'm assuming they're real. That may have happened after that. I was trying to understand the timeline of everything. If you don't want to see it, don't search it on social media, because that was how I found it. And I'm going to assume that it's legitimate, but you never know these days. Pictures can be doctored so easily.
Yeah.
Well, looked like he was missing an arm and finger, and I'll leave it at that.
Well, I have not seen those photos, but I don't lose any sleep of when terrorists get killed. That guy was probably the mastermind of October 7th.
Well, 100%. I thought that was acknowledged, right? That he was absolutely the guy, that they found a book that he had even written detailing how they were going to abduct people and rape women and kill them. I mean, he was like a playbook of how to massacre all these people in Israel.
Well, good. Good riddance to him. And we'll check in with the retired Major General and get his thoughts on what happens next there in the Middle East, for sure. We got Dinesh D'Souza joining us as well in the next hour at about 6:35. Of course, he's got a new movie and book out called Vindicating Trump, and I'm anxious to get him back on the air. We've tried for a long time, and getting him up this early has apparently been a struggle. So getting him on the air for the morning show has been a little bit of a struggle, but we're glad we got him for this morning. We'll get to that a little later. First of all, though, Ethan, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
We're going everywhere. Kamala and I are going everywhere. Between the two of us, we're about regulars on Fox News now.
Oh, for God's sake. Really? Tim Walz, we're regulars on Fox News now. Because he went on with Shannon And she went on with Brett, and then they both bellyached afterwards about how it wasn't a fair interview. It wasn't fair, because you asked me follow-up questions. Journalists aren't supposed to do that.
I don't know how many more elections I'll be involved with, and I'm too old to gild the lily. Heck, I'm only 2 months younger than Donald Trump.
I'm only 2 months younger than Donald Trump. He sounds like he's fading fast. And I want you to bear in mind, he is younger, about the same age as Sammy Hagar, who turned 76 yesterday, I think, celebrated in Cabo and conducted a full rock concert the same night. So just so you know.
The media has begun discussing the phenomena of secret Trump voters. I don't know if you've heard about this. People who publicly say they would never vote for Trump, but then when they go in the voting booth, they do. It's a small group. They're called the Biden family.
Comedian Jim Gaffigan there having a little bit of fun last night as he was giving his opening remarks at that Al Smith dinner in New York. And oddly enough, Donald Trump was there too.
There's a group called White Dudes for Harris, but I'm not worried about them at all because their wives and their wives' lovers are all voting for me.
The funniest thing about this is that this thing was born, this dinner, this idea of the dinner. It's a fundraiser, right? Archbishop Dolan was there sitting on the dais, right, two seats to the right of the podium. And this started as a fundraiser where everybody got together and they set politics aside and they ribbed each other all night, mm-hmm. right? In a time when, you know, Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan, who the former Democrat leader of the House and the president, would get together and have beers and slap each other on the back and tell Irish jokes. And, I mean, it was a different time when this thing was founded. And now you've got this such a partisan divide in America between these crazy leftists who occupy the Democratic Party now, not the party of my grandfather, for sure, and the Republicans, who are the only ones that have a shred of common sense left. So now the jokes are all real, right? Like whatever they're joking about is really happening. Like women winning in women's sports, and I mean these are things you used to joke about, but those things are off the table now because they're real. They're really happening. So the best image last night, in my opinion, and I'm going to pull it up here for you. The best moment was Chuck Schumer was sitting right next to Donald Trump. I don't know how that happened, but Trump was speaking and Schumer was seated at the first seat next to the podium. And Schumer sitting there never cracked a smile in any of the video I saw. Like it looked like he was completely pissed off to be there. And Trump unleashed this one on him.
Chuck Schumer is here looking very glum. Doesn't he look glum? He looks glum. But look on the bright side, Chuck, considering how woke your party has become. If Kamala loses, you still have a chance to become the first woman president.
And Schumer barely cracked a smile. I mean, because it's theater of the absurd. It's true. He could declare tomorrow that after cooking raw hamburgers on his grill, he feels like a woman. And those idiots on the other side would take him seriously and start calling him she, her.
Yeah. Or they, them, whatever the case may be.
Whatever it may be. Z, Zim, I don't know what the hell he would be.
You think Trump wrote his own jokes? I could see him having, I don't know if he'd have the time to do that, but I could see him having fun coming up with some of these one-liners.
Maybe. I can see him either signing off or not signing off on some of them, because a couple of them were pretty good zingers, and I'm going to get to those for you coming up here in just a couple of minutes, because I don't know if the mainstream media is going to play some of this, because it was damning to Kamala Harris, who opted not to show up.
She sent a Zoom video, right? That was my understanding. She initially said she wouldn't go.
Then she's too busy.
She sent a Zoom video, and it was embargoed. So they weren't even, I don't even think anybody was, the organizers were even able to see it until the actual event.
I just think she missed an opportunity. I mean, Biden participated in this thing in 2016 with Trump. I think Trump and Hillary, maybe 2020 COVID canceled it. But I think Trump and Hillary participated in this dinner, I think.
She's what, the first presidential candidate since the 1980s? Was it 1984 to skip it? I mean, it is a pretty big deal.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the results are the same as they were in 1984. So we'll see what happens with that. All right. We're going to get to a quick break here. And first, though, we will, I assume, get to the fray.
It is.
Catch anything you missed today by getting the show podcast at 971talk.com.
Nothing, let me repeat, nothing is too low for the left to try to escalate into a story, a fake news story, which their fellow journalists are happy to jump on and try to blow stories out of proportion. They get fed these stories, and then that's what happens. That's just what happened with the Channel 4's coverage of the Josh Hawley bus illegally parked. They did a whole news story on it. They actually sent a camera guy out, or a camera girl, I don't know who they all are these days, and took video of Josh Hawley's bus because the driver stayed next door at a hotel. There was no room in the parking lot, so he parked next door. And that was illegal. The news had to go do a story on the fact that Josh Hawley's bus was parked illegally. Not a story that might be legitimate when Mike Kehoe was driving around in a bus that was paid for by some Chinese lobbyist. That was at least a legitimate story to go do a story on that bus. There was no legitimacy here. It was just the people who hate Trump or hate Hawley called the news station, and they're the only ones that covered it, to the best of my knowledge, which is pathetic. Same thing with this Trump and the enemy story. I listened to this interview with this Alex Bolton guy from The Hill this morning. And Kim, I'm sure you listened to it too. What is the title of the article that he wrote for the left-leaning Hill newspaper?
GOP cringes over Trump's vow to wield military against opponents.
Yeah. So he makes these comments to Maria Bartiromo. And of course, the media takes the entire comment out of context. And I want to talk about that for a minute, because if you Google Trump military enemies, these are the headlines that come up. Trump suggests using military against enemy from within. Trump sparks outrage after calling for the army to handle protesters. Trump urges the military to handle radical left lunatics. The Washington Post, The Guardian, CNN, all of the regulars, The Hill. Did you hear the context in which Donald Trump said this to Maria Bartiromo? Here was the question. If my computer's up over here, Ethan, here was the question and his answer. Listen.
Let's remember, you've got 50,000 Chinese nationals in this country in the last couple of years. Yeah. You have people on the terrorist watch list, 350 in the last couple of years. You've got, like you said, 13,000 murderers and 15,000 rapists.
Right.
What are you expecting? Joe Biden said he doesn't think it's going to be a peaceful election day.
Well, he doesn't have any idea what's happening in North Carolina. He spends most of his day sleeping. I think the bigger problem is the enemy from within, not even the people that have come in and destroying our country. By the way, totally destroying our country. The towns, the villages, they're being inundated. But I don't think they're the problem in terms of election day. I think the bigger problem are the people from within. We have some very bad people. We have some sick people, radical left lunatics. And I think they're and it should be very easily handled by, if necessary, by National Guard, or if really necessary, by the military, because they can't let that happen.
Specifically in the context of riots happening after the election, because the crazy left in this country, and they are enemies of the United States. They want us to become a socialist country. To me, that is the definition of an enemy. If you are a socialist and you want to change my country to a socialist country, you are an enemy. That he would use the National Guard. Guess who occupied Washington, D.C. for weeks after January 6th? The National Guard. the Democrats brought in the National Guard. What's the difference? We'll get to Kim on a whim in just a minute.
More ideas, less taxes. The Mark Cox Morning Show. Kim on a whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
It's day 9 of rejection therapy, and I am going to ask a stranger for $100. My pulse is 127 right now. That's what my heart rate is. And you can see my camera is shaking. This is the most challenging task that I have. According to me, I am really nervous, but I just want to get this out of the way, so let's go.
One more thing, my goal is to do this without justifying or saying like sorry or this is a strange request or anything like that. I'm just going to make the request.
Excuse me, could I borrow $100, please? That's okay, thank you.
Well, that right there, that video is part of this now viral trend on TikTok called rejection therapy. People are so scared of getting rejected that what they're doing to overcome that fear is they're going up to random people and making strange requests that are likely to get a no. Intentionally, they know that going into it, so that when the person says no, it helps them to process that and they get more comfortable with hearing no, and then eventually they assume they're going to get over their fear. But
I could reject him a lot easier than that. You need to feel rejected, come and ask me. I'll help you.
I think there's a serious
trend.
Fear. It's a trend. It's gone viral on TikTok. I think there really is a big fear of rejection. I mean, you think of like, oh, I'm too scared to ask that boy or ask that girl out.
Yes.
I get that. Okay. But I'm talking about even right now as it relates to politics, people are way too scared to show their support for Donald Trump or say that they're pro-life or ask somebody, hey, are you registered to vote? Hey, how do you feel about this? They're too scared to even have those conversations because they're so terrified of getting rejected.
No, I think what they're terrified of is not the rejection. They're terrified of being challenged on their beliefs. I think most people don't have the strength of their convictions to stand up and explain why they feel the way they feel, or they've been conditioned by our society to be an apologist for how you feel. And you can't be both. You certainly can't do that and host a radio show, right? I have a radio show where I'm allowed to talk about the news of the day and give my opinion. You're in the same situation now. And I don't think it's a fear of rejection, maybe it's a fear of not getting the positive feedback that you feel like you need for your self-esteem.
Well, I think that goes hand in hand with rejection.
Right. You have to get to the point where you don't care.
I think that as it relates to this job right now, my stance on politics and all of these things over the last maybe a year or so. No, really, I would say it was 2021. It was when I lost my job at KMOV over the vaccine mandate. That really put a fire under my butt and just gave me this boldness that I don't think I had before. But there are other facets of my life where I absolutely am a little too scared to say certain things, or I might shy away or second guess it. And I think that this is such the anxiety. I mean, that is the what was the movie that just came out? Inside Out, right? Inside Out 2 just came out, the animated one.
Yeah. With all the emotions and everything.
The latest emotion was anxiety. I mean, that is the number one thing I think that you hear. Well, not just teenagers, but I hear it a lot from the younger generation is, I'm so anxious. I have so much anxiety. It's almost as if that's celebrated. But, you know, they talk about exposure therapy, where if you say you have a fear of spiders, you're supposed to gradually introduce yourself to the spiders, and then somehow you're going to miraculously...
You just go up and shake hands with them?
I think you just eat the spider, actually. And if you eat enough spiders, they say you're not going to be scared of them anymore.
If my daughter's listening right now, she's screaming at the radio, chicken crap, because she's scared to death of spiders, and she runs the other way.
You know what I tell myself?
And she's almost 30.
When I see a spider, is I'm like, okay, you know what? Just picture Charlotte's Web. It's a cute little spider. It can talk. It's really sweet. It doesn't want to hurt me or run under
some
the kitchen, the fridge. You know, the worst is when you try to kill it and it runs away,
then you have
no idea where it went.
My wife was describing that about a camping trip she took without me with my daughter before I arrived and met up with them, and they saw a spider in the camper, a bug. And she said, I said to myself, I've got one chance to get it, because if it gets away when I go for it, neither of us will sleep a wink tonight, knowing that it's in the camper somewhere. I'm like, it's more scared of you than you are of it.
Yeah, you can tell me that a million times, but I'm still going to be scared to kill it.
So back to your point about, I mean, this is about people needing some sort of affirmation, in my opinion, like Stuart Smalley on the SNL skits, you're good enough and darn it, you deserve it. It's that kind of thing that if you're this fear of rejection, and maybe it's because of the way you were raised. I don't know. Were you not raised with the confidence to go out and face the world?
I think that even if you're raised like that, I think that just the way that things are right now, I think people are terrified. I think social media is also created this weird phenomenon where people were so obsessed with likes and comments. Remember that even at one point, I think it's still in effect, Instagram took it off where you don't see how many people like a certain picture. You just see, let's say you liked it, it would say Mark Cox and others like it. And I think it was because people were so fixated on getting a certain number of likes, and they were almost falling into a state of depression if they didn't get the reaction that they were hoping for, which of course would be then a sign of rejection.
And it gets back to the keyboard warriors. I saw a quote that was attributed to Mike Tyson. And I don't know if Mike Tyson ever said it or not, because I've seen quotes attributed to Abraham Lincoln that I know he didn't say on Facebook. But it said, the biggest problem with social media is that you can say whatever you want without getting punched in the nose. And if you got punched in the nose, you probably would have thought twice about saying it. So a lot of people very bold on social media, but not face-to-face.
That's what they need to invent.
We have circumvented that personal interaction, right?
Right. They would never have the guts to say it to someone's face.
In many cases, they would not.
They need to have a hand that comes out and cocks you right in the face if you say something that is deemed so stupid.
I've always heard everybody needs to get hit in the nose at least one time, because it'll make you realize that, yeah, while it hurts for a few minutes, it makes your eyes water, you can live through it.
Well, I got hit in the head with a plastic guitar, if that counts. Last week, my son, obviously intentional, but he was
say, Michael,
playing with
what's
it.
Michael
yeah, not
doing,
Michael, and
you
right
guitar.
In my nose, and it had a little bruise. It's still a little sore this morning. So I'm going to say that's my version of that.
Okay.
It doesn't feel great.
No.
But people really do. There are so many people who need a fire under their butts. And again, I'm still working on it in some areas of my life, but it feels so freeing to just say what you mean. And to your point, I think there's a lot of people, I agree, that are not confident in their stance on something, right? So if they're too scared to be challenged on it, so therefore they don't even stick their neck out.
And the difference right now, if I can make a commentary on the political season we're in, is that it's the loony left that has no problem putting hateful things out there every day about Donald Trump. I was talking about this the other day with a Facebook friend of mine who I adore her personally, but she is absolutely swallowed the Kool-Aid and is crazy and has Trump derangement syndrome to the extreme. And I just want, you know, I want to take her and hug her and tell her it's going to be okay. I survived Barack Obama. I survived Sleepy Joe Biden. You'll survive another term of Donald Trump. It's not the end of the world. It's not the end of democracy. Put on your big girl pants and get over it. I don't care if you don't like his tweets. We need somebody in charge of this country and somebody world leaders are going to respect. But the left they have no problem putting that out there. But people who are going to vote for Trump are less likely to go on social media and defend him on their personal Facebook page.
Right, which is why I think that a lot of these polls are off and the support is underplayed for Trump, because I think there's a lot of people who are far too scared to put a sign in their front yard that says Trump.
Yeah.
They just are.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Be
and
bold.
That's a shame.
Speak out.
Be bold.
Be
put
confident.
Up a flag like I did.
Ruffle some feathers. Respectfully ruffle some feathers.
I absolutely. It's a good point. Come on, people. Stand up. Wake up. Come on. All right, coming up in the next hour, we have Dinesh D'Souza. The Dinesh D'Souza is going to join us. He's got a new movie out based on a book he's written called Vindicating Trump. We're going to get him on here at about 6:35. We're back in just a minute.
St. Louis is home for conservative talk.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. A clear view of the roads from the Window World Traffic Center.
We just had a report of an accident out west, Highway 100 at 185, car versus deer. So just take care this morning. But really, for the most part, we look great. 44 looks great from out west into downtown. 55 is in good shape. We are quiet through North County and look good on the bridges downtown. It's a typical Friday morning with light volume at this hour, which is kind of always good news. This report is brought to you by GL International Realty. Planning to sell your home? Work with the very best. Gloria Liu with Your Home Sold Guaranteed Realty will guarantee to sell your home at your price, or she will buy it. Visit GloriaHasTheBuyers.com. From the Window World Traffic Center, I'm Sue Thomas, 547 at 97.1, St. Louis's home for conservative talk.
Yeah, so what is it you need heading into the winter, guys? I mean, I know, let's say, the bulky clothes are coming out. You get to wear the pullovers and kind of hide that extra layer of fat that you might have put on here going to all the football pregame parties. But at Victory Men's Health, they can help you lose that. They've got medical science can help you lose it because they've got semaglutide that they can prescribe to you. They prescribe it for women as well. You go in, you get a blood test, you find out if you're a candidate for it, and it can help people shed up to 15% of their body weight. I love that they do that. That's part of what they do. They got four great locations now. They deal with hormone optimization and weight loss and vitamin deficiencies and problems with your sexual health. The point is, men tend to put these things off. They tend to put themselves last, I think, in many cases when it comes to going to the doctor or just thinking they're going to be okay and not worrying about it. You need to worry about it. You need to go to Victory Men's Health, where medical doctors are overseeing your care and they know how to make men feel the way they used to feel. It's easy. Four great locations: O'Fallon, Illinois, O'Fallon, Missouri, Town and Country, and also their newest location in Sunset Hills. Go online to victorymenshealth.com.
This is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Morning Show, on the air and streaming at 971talk.com.
I got to say, I am rather disappointed in one of my longtime idols here in St. Louis sports, and that is the Wizard of Oz. I like Ozzy Smith. I met him on a number of occasions. Oh, just the nicest guy in the world. But he took money to do this Amendment 2 ad, and I got to be honest with you, it's dishonest. The ad is dishonest. And I'm not. It's not just me saying it, although I do point that out in my voter guide. It's the people that have fact-checked this amendment, including over at News Channel 5, have drawn the exact same conclusion, and yet over and over and over again, this ad is running ad nauseum, pun intended, so that they're trying to convince you that if you just let people vote, if you just vote to let people gamble on their phones, it's going to mean $100 million for our schools. Listen to this ad that's running.
Back in my day, I was the Wizard of the Infield. Now, I'm a grandfather. That's why I'm voting yes on Amendment 2. It means over $100 million for Missouri schools and teachers.
No, Ozzy. No, it doesn't.
And no more broken promises. There's a constitutional guarantee that the money goes to our schools. And legalizing sports betting...
It's just a lie. It's got the video of him doing the backflip and appearing on the turf down at Busch Stadium. Why? Because all the big sports teams want this to happen. And I'll say it again. I don't have anything against you being able to bet on your phone. I really don't. Just put it on the ballot and say, hey, let's legalize online gambling. Period. But don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. Here's it. I'm going to read this to you, not in my words, mind you, but in the words of KSDK. And this is credited to a reporter named Megan Lowe, from what I can see here. Missourians are heading to the polls this general election cycle to vote on Amendment 2, which will legalize sports betting on college and professional games in the state. Missouri would join 38 states that have done this, right? As Election Day draws closer, ad spending from both groups, for and against, has ramped up. Well, it's mostly the for crowd, trying to claim that it would generate tens of millions of dollars annually or $100 million over the next 5 years for schools in the state. They promise you that that's going to happen. So they went in and they looked at it. Does it guarantee millions of dollars in revenue for schools each year? And they gave it a big false red X. And here's why. Missouri Amendment 2 does not guarantee millions of dollars in revenue for schools each year. There's a wide range of how much money the amendment could bring, if any at all. It even says right in there it might raise from zero to $28 million a year. And that's important. Ozzie Smith ought to be aware of that. I mean, I'm sure he got paid to do that commercial, but for God's sake, you're deceiving your fans. That's what saddens me about it. And here's the reason. You can go get my voter guide if you want, because it's easy to find at 971talk.com, and it discusses the why here. But let me read it to you just in case you're not near a computer this morning. The truth is, schools may never receive a dime, and if they do, it could be years down the road. The gaming industry wrote this constitutional amendment, and boy, did they write it to their favor. They get to deduct taxes, government registration fees, gaming losses, up to 25% of the gross costs of promotional credits and free play, which they use to lure you in, investment costs, $5 million for gambling addiction that they have to set aside out of this every year, and just about everything else under the sun before they ever have to declare a profit. And only after they declare a profit will the schools maybe get a dime. The ballot language even says the school contribution could be zero. But that is in the fine print. So it may well pass, and they've done a good job deceiving people about it. But my goodness, Ozzie, come on. It is a bold-faced lie to go on TV and tell people it's guaranteed to bring $100 million to your school, because it's not, and it probably never will.
You know, Channel 4 has been fact-checking all these political ads from the candidates. Why don't they fact-check something like Amendment 2?
I don't know. Channel 5 did, to their credit. And maybe 4 didn't. I dismissed it.
Well, they're the ones who I've seen doing all the fact-checks of the candidates. So.
Channel 5 said that's a lie. It's false to say that, and I'm surprised Ozzie would go along with that. But I mean, his bread is buttered by the Cardinals, and they want it to pass. So just, you know, take it for what it's worth, but you're going to hear the truth here. Coming up, we're going to talk more about the death of that Palestinian leader.
Hey, it's Mark.